Good afternoon, everybody. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to a progressive life. This show is our way or my way of talking to people and trying to get people to understand how we have to move forward. If we move back, nothing works. We need to move forward. Today is a crazy day in Washington, D.C. All the reports that have come out even directly from the president seem to cast really ugly dispersions upon how things were done through his office and through him in relationship to the president of Yugoslavia. Is that right? Yeah. How there was extortion at best, and bribery, all sorts of really bad stuff that were done in the name of the United States. Well, actually, they were not done in the name of the United States. They were done for the advancement of our current commander-in-chief's political aspirations. I'm not certain, and I've been watching the stuff that's on TV right now, the interview with the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, he's trying to put on a good face, and he's doing a good job of avoiding really pointing fingers, but it's pretty obvious to me anyway, and maybe that's because of my progressive bent. But it's pretty obvious to me what's going on there. And Tara just came in. We're going to have Tara Dyer on here in just a couple of minutes, if I can get her to sit behind the orange microphone. But the things that are going on right now are shocking. And I think that the Republicans now have enough people that have agreed to do the impeachment that it would get passed in the House of Representatives. But we also know that it probably wouldn't go anywhere in the Senate. But there are a few cracks that are showing in the Senate, and I think after today you may find a few more cracks. I don't think it's going to explode. But if you're as old as I am, you remember the Nixon thing, and it took a long time for that to open up. And the only reason why it did is because the gentleman who put in the microphones and the sound equipment in the White House, he finally had to admit that, yes, in fact, they were there. It's kind of interesting this morning, and there are a lot of people running around with their heads cut off trying to explain or point fingers. Anyway, we have one of my buddies, a favorite of mine. Tara, you don't need to put headphones on if you don't. I know she doesn't want to mess her hair up. Tara Dyer, she's running for city council, and we're going to talk about that. Hi, Tara. How you doing? Whoops, wait a minute. I got to turn your microphone up. Unfortunately, I got the wrong one up here. What's going on, Glenn? Not hearing it. Can you say something?
Yes.
I hope people can hear that.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. Glenn. Now we got you. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. We have a lot of people, or not very many people, I should say, running for office this year. You are running for city council. And you and I ran the last time we both ran at the same time. I ran for a state rep, and you ran for
county commissioner.
You were on the short side of that, and so was I. But what made you decide to run for city council? There's a lot of things going or could be going on in this city.
Well, it's an interesting story. the idea came up just like out of nowhere for me. I was thinking that I would never ever want to run for political office again.
Yeah, that's the way I felt.
You know, I was like, and it was like so frustrating because I thought I had done such a good job.
And you did.
You know, and I really thought that I had a great chance of winning. And I was like so depressed. And that political thing is not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not.
So I was like, no, I don't, you know, I'll just sit back and help other people in the Democratic Party be the beneficiary of all the, you know, those bumps and bruises that I got, and maybe I could help out. And then I found out that the person that was for my party that was going to run was not someone that I thought could be a great candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be politically correct. At that time, you know, he had switched parties. He was a Republican at one time, and then I live in the 5th. I mean, I actually live in the 5th, and I've been in the 5th for like 40 years, you know, and it wasn't like I moved or I lived with someone in the 5th. And I thought I could be more reflective of what the people in the 5th actually wanted or actually needed. And I talked to people in the 5th. I support businesses in the 5th. I taught at Benjamin Harrison in the 5th, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. So I just felt that it would be a better situation for me, even if I ran and lost, than not to have run at all.
Yeah.
So, well, a lot of factors.
The one thing that I thought when I ran was, and I knew the chance of me winning were not very good, especially in Ohio with the gerrymandering the way it is for particularly for the 86th district, it's kind of rough. I knew I probably wouldn't win, but I also knew that at least I'd be able to get a voice out there and let people hear what I believed was the truth. And I'm sure that's the way you ran at that time. I don't know about now.
Well, and the biggest hurdle, first of all, we already talked, I ran a failed campaign with the county commissioner. Didn't think I was going to run again. Then got on the ballot. I have been toying with maybe even running for the school board and so on. So I knew I was probably going to do something, but I just didn't. I felt like maybe the school board is like in my wheelhouse because I taught for 35 years and stuff. And then, you know, when the situation came up where I felt that the 5th needed a true representative of the 5th, so then we had to go into the primary,
mm-hmm.
you know, so so I had to primary this individual.
I noticed it was not a huge turnout of votes.
And that's the problem, too, in Marion. It wasn't a huge turnout when you
117, I think,
yeah,
in your district. Maybe, is that wrong?
Yeah, probably. I think I won by like maybe 50 votes. I mean, so that's a pork chop away. I mean, you know, if he had a guy, you know, more of his friends, you know, it could have gone either way. So I don't know what, you know, when I crunched the numbers, what that meant. I also, you know, in the primary, you don't make a lot of good friends, you know, especially within your own party. You know, it's like, why are you primarying?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And so I didn't make a heck of a impression in my party, you know, but, you know, so after the primary and a candidate was, you know, determined and stuff, it's kind of different, you know, because now we have a designee in the 5th and not, you know, those awful type disgruntled people. Cause I don't think I was the chosen one.
Well, let me bring that up. And my listeners know that I was not terribly happy with the support I got from the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking the state Democratic Party. I must have called them half a dozen times asking for things. One of the things I wanted to know, because they kept telling me, oh, you got to raise funds, you got to raise funds. But they wouldn't give me, they kept saying, well, we'll send you a list of the previous donors. They never did. Three times I asked for that. I finally just gave up on that.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed not only with the state. I have been a little disappointed. As you probably notice, I don't go to a lot of the Democratic meetings anymore.
Yeah, I've been missing you. But we really got to mobilize going into 2020.
Yeah, and, you're right.
There are a lot of positions that are open, a lot of the countywide things. I think you should consider running for county commissioner or something. You know, there's a lot of...
I'll be the first dead person to win. No.
Well, no, I mean, I think as a party, we need to get out there and start vetting individuals that we know. Well, we know you know stuff because I talk to you at the fair and in the political offices and all those kind of things. But my point is, we can't wait until 2020. You know, we've got to start vetting individuals right now for these positions that are going to be open. And I've been vocal about that in the Democratic Club, in our nominating committee, all of those, because it's going to be hard to beat the Republicans in 2020 as they are so enamored with 45.
Well, know? I think today, if you've been watching the news, I don't know if you have, I think today may sway some people. Okay. I don't think it'll sway a lot of people because everybody will say it's just a witch hunt. But
it's been kind of crazy. Yeah, I saw Nunes's opening remarks and I
had to turn it off.
I'm like, oh, Nunes, I thought you were gone.
He was running the water again.
Oh, gosh. But I picked up another job. I'm in charge of mentors.
I saw that.
20-hour a week kind of a thing. So I was headed out the door, bagel in hand, getting sick from watching Nunes. And I was like, oh, so I've got it DVR'd, so I'll go and watch it when I can just sit down and soak it in.
Well, I watched a little bit of it before I came here, and I usually get here around a little before 10, so I didn't get to see a whole lot, but I have it on my phone, so I watched a little bit there. But it is... everybody's crawling back into their camps again. You know, if you're a Republican, you're going to say it's all a witch hunt. And if you're a Democrat, you're going to say this is the absolute end to Donald Trump.
Terrible spin. You know,
it's terrible to be in that situation where we have to say you're bad and I'm good.
Yeah.
We are all good, or most of us are good. We just have to learn to work together.
Well, I'm like, interpretation, it must be, I must be crazy, but I've been a literate person all my life, and when I read something that says, that looks funny to me, you know, that you're calling the Ukrainian asking for a favor, and, you know. And,
yeah.
But no, I didn't ask for a favor. You got to read the context, but no.
Well, you read the context, and everybody's kind of agreeing today. Even the people on the Republican side are kind of saying that's not real good.
He's different, you know, but I know he doesn't want to be impeached. He doesn't want that on his...
Why would anybody, huh?
He's so vain, you know. So what, he'd be the fourth person in history?
That would be the fourth person that it was a... Yeah, Nixon never got impeached because he quit before. Andrew Jackson and Clinton were the only two that were actually impeached. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he'd be the fourth that was intended to be impeached.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what you think you can do for this city of Ohio, or of Marion.
The city of Marion, well, you being a former candidate know that the League of Women Voters send you out your questionnaire, and I'm hoping all the listeners will come to watch candidates tonight. It's going to be at Harding on October 7th, I think.
October 7th, that's good to know.
Yeah, check, and... it is going to be in a bigger room this time. It's going to be in like their auditorium kind of an area, and it's going to be broadcast by not your station, so I won't mention that.
That's station. All right. We this station broadcast it for 3 years and got disenchanted, I guess, and got out of that business.
A lot of people ask what can I bring to the table, and I'm going to tell you what I want and what I want to do in our city. Because I feel like this is a job interview, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure it is.
And with this job interview comes certain responsibilities. I got to put my best foot forward because there's only a microcosm of time that people are going to see me. Now, some of them, if they followed me with the commissioner's race, they know that my campaign slogan was unity in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time, it's my slogan is different campaign, but same mission. And then when I win, I'm going to say mission complete, you know, because I have, you know, run that gamut. Most people say that, well, the biggest problem in Marion is drugs.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that.
That's a trend, though, Glenn. So right now in this interview process, what I'm trying to do is be on as many organizations that are addressing the drug situation. I just attended an addiction symposium at Ohio State University. Larice Corrette was there. My classmates were there. They run a program called Archway, which deals with addiction. Their son was had problems with addiction, and so they utilized their experiences with their son in order to help other people. So I'm on the Drug Free Marion Task Force Committee, and we work on different things. We also look at ways in which we as an organization can bring resources to Marion. I walked out of there Tuesday with a Narcan kit, for example.
Oh, yes.
So
hopefully you never have to use it.
Well, I'll give it away.
Yeah.
Because I know people that, you know, are struggling or whatever, and I'll give it away to someone who may need it more than me.
I talked with Sue McGowan 2 weeks ago, I believe, and that was her big concern is all the drugs. Now, I did look it up, and Marion is by no measure the worst place in Ohio.
No.
Dayton is really
strong. We follow the national trend with addiction, overdoses, drug dealers, those kind of things. But drug dealers are like roaches, you know, like some, you know, they come out at night kind of, and, you know, and or when you turn on the light, they scatter,
mm-hmm.
you know. But unfortunately, you know, they leave, you know, their remnants behind. And like when you get rid of one roach, there are three that take its place.
Yeah.
So we got to work with law enforcement as far as that's concerned. So I want to look at both sides of the issue, on the addiction side and also on that side where we're dealing with the actual problem.
Can the city do anything on the side of helping that the people that are addicts and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's what the symposium was about. And really good part of the symposium was they...
Go ahead, keep talking, Tara.
Keep talking. And so they did have a lot of resources that were listed. So the city can do things. Mary Haven always has a nice situation where they are helping and doing different things. You just need to reach out. So different organizations are out there for help. I have been dealing with trying to educate myself as far as that's concerned. So the drug issues and the drug problems, that's a national trend. We've got to do something. We cannot turn our heads. The other thing that one of my babies is, in the fifth, we are dealing with housing blight and, you know, doing those. So I'm working on another committee that is looking at what can we do to, when we tear down stuff, let's put some stuff back.
Can you give us the kind of the borders of the fifth? Some people won't know where
weird.
It is. It goes up North Main Street, doesn't it?
And some.
Okay.
But Brightwood, you know Brightwood,
mm-hmm.
where Benjamin Harrison is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one side of Brightwood, but not the other.
Oh, like lovely.
If you look at the map of Marion, it looks really like a distinctive puzzle piece. I live on the, do you know where Central Soy, not Central Soy, the soybean factory, I don't know what it's called now. So that's part of the Fifth Jefferson is some of it. But not all of it.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't go to Fairground.
Oh, you know? I thought it went all the way up to Fairgrounds.
No.
Okay.
No. Hmm. And also, their East Mark, some
oh, yeah.
street, Sefner.
Okay.
Cummins.
So it's kind of south Washington. Of the Fairgrounds mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. bordered by where the, what is that? The, oh, shoot. Greenwood? Is Greenwood a border?
Some of Greenwood. Some of Greenwood. Wilson.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I've learned a lot of these streets because I had to walk them and shake people's hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got a...
By the Jersey.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody knows
where the Jersey is.
Shout out to the Jersey.
All right, well, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I kind of broke you up there, but...
But that's a good question because a lot of people that know me and they want to vote for me, you can't vote unless you're in the fifth.
Right.
You know, but I don't want to discourage people from voting, so get out and vote for a Democrat.
Absolutely. Well, I'm in the sixth, so I'm just south of you.
I know. That's why I haven't been bugging you for a yard sign.
Hey, I would like a – I have a yard sign in some of my folks that always had my sign right down the street from me. It's up, and I'd like to put your sign up. So.
Yeah, my friend, the Thompsons.
Yep, the Thompsons, yep.
And I put one there, and I said, I know Glenn's in the six, but I think, too, it's about recognition. So the blighted housing problem, I think, is something that would reflect community pride and our morale. Because in the League of Women Voters questionnaire, you know, I tried to think outside of the box when they say, well, what are the three most, you know, things that you see need to be addressed?
They tried to put you in that box, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I said was the negativity that's associated with our town. People are always negative about Marion. Mm-hmm. It's old. It's this. It's that, you know. And I think we need to address the morale here because we're doing some great things. Luke Henry and Alex Sheridan downtown doing the, you know, the reimagining and the Main Street thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're building
across
up,
the street.
Yeah, we're building up yeah. down, you know, the downtown area again. And so I think one of the most important things that I would like to see done is to change our attitude about where we can go as far as Marion is concerned. And I said the other night when I spoke in front of a group of landlords, I said, we got to stop looking back. We're not going to be able to bring back Mark Street School or the schools we tore down or, you know, what, you know, the factories are gone.
Yep.
You know, so we need to look progressively toward the future and see what can we do to build up. You know, what can you as a citizen do that will help to enhance the image of Marion, to enhance your quality of life, and that of our children?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the negativity was the other thing. And then I think the third thing I addressed was we need to utilize those resources that will help people have affordable housing and affordable living. And so by that I mean you don't have to go to college, but we have some great resources. We got the Ohio State University, we got Marion Technical College, we've got robotics, you know, but you need to probably get something that you're good at in order to sustain an affordable living. And then I was looking at the housing situation on the auditor's site in the Fifth Ward about people who are bottom up on their mortgages and those kind of things. We got to look at programs that will help people to stay in their homes. So,
well, Marion is, I guess, known not as a very high-end county, unfortunately, of the five counties in the area.
Please don't compare us to Delaware. We're going to say the D word.
No, I'm not. But what I am saying is that as a fairly recent member of the area, there are a lot of things in this county that are really nice, really good. We have lots of parks that we could use, and I'm sure they're underutilized. We have lots of kids that are growing up that we should take pride in and try to help out. I found a lot of people running the area down, and when I was in a class called Marion. Well, anyway, I can't remember the name of the class, but we had a class about 10 years ago that I was in that was taught by a professor out at either the Tech or OSU, but and it was about what is so good about Marion, and there are a ton of things about Marion that are good, and they've gotten way better since I was in that class, and I think we do need to support that. Hey, I did want to mention, if anybody would like to call in, and I assume you would be willing to take a phone call if we get one. You would have to put your headphones on, but not now. the number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off in midstream there.
No, but you made a good point too. To go back to, you know, the interview process for this job that I'm trying to get on City Council in the 5th Ward, you just mentioned that you took a class. Well, I'm in Leadership Marion
now. That's what it was. That was the name of the class.
Yeah, I'm in Leadership Marion, which is facilitated by John Shank, and there are probably about 50 of us in the class.
It's gotten much bigger. I was in with a class of about 10.
And they're from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to sit and talk to our last class, we got on a bus, and we just toured Marion, you know, mm-hmm. and pointed out the positive things, and we were Quarry Park. I hadn't been there since like forever, you know, and we were in the parking lot at Whirlpool and those type things. And it's taken this class that will help me to understand all the great things about Marion.
Right.
You know, the culminating event in that class is there's a project that comes out as a result of that, and one of the projects was the Pep Club, and they deal with the parks. And then the Forge, which deals with people who wanted to do business, that was one of the classes. One of the classes even has a youth focus, where they're doing youth entrepreneurs and those kind of things, and preparing them for leadership and stuff. So the good thing about this class is not only do you get, you know, immersed in Marion type stuff, but at the end you walk away with a project that's going to be your legacy.
Yeah, and betters the community.
So there are a lot of different things that I see in Marion, and one of the things I want to definitely reinstitute is Mike Thomas, when he was city council person, and I said this when I was running for commissioner, we got to have people at the table and have their voices heard. So I would like to, you know, have some type of a group of citizens in the 5th that we just sit down and we talk about different issues, their ideas, things.
Kind of a focus group for the 5th?
Yeah. I want to have, you know, and I said that because I believe in transparency. And if I'm going to be their voice, you know, although there are going to be 8 other people, you know, involved, if I'm going to be their voice, I got to bring their voice to the table. So I want to have that. I haven't thought of a catchy name for it yet, but I got to get
that's elected. The teacher in you.
Yeah, but I got to get elected first. But I think a lot of times people sleep on politics. That's why we have the low voter turnout, mm-hmm. that you had talked about, you know. I mean, people just don't think that their vote matters.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and right now I'm wondering myself. Here, we've got a call. I'm going to see who our caller is. Hello, you're on the air. This is Glenn Coble.
Hi, Yes, I wonder if you might be able to turn that guy's microphone on. We can barely hear him.
Okay, it's...
Some of the time you can't hear him at all.
Well, I'll just ask her to pull it up to her mouth.
he might be in the next room. We can't tell.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. And we will get her to talk right into the microphone, and that'll help out. Hey, thanks for the...
That'll turn it on.
Well, it's on.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. Apparently, I didn't have you sitting close enough.
We'll try it again. Because now I said all those important things. And
oh, they heard you. I mean, it was quiet, but, and I could tell it was quiet in my headphone, but it wasn't that quiet. I'm going to bring up a kind of a touchy question. I don't know if you know this or not, but you happen to be African American. The diversity that I found when I went out and visited my son in California, he plays on a basketball team that he might be the only white kid on the team. And I was so proud that we have that type of diversity. But in the city of Marion, we still don't have much diversity. And maybe you can... give me a clue to why we struggle to have, we only have a few Hispanic families. I think we're no more than about 5% African American.
I think it's a little more.
Is it now?
It depends on how you identify, you know, because sometimes our biracial population identifies with whatever your parent is or the dominant culture. So it depends on how you identify. The 2020 census is going to, I think, make a huge difference as far as getting data that I think is more reflective of the Marion community. I don't know about the diversity. I'm on a lot of diverse groups. Like I'm a member of the Black Heritage Council. I'm a member of the Peace and Freedom Committee, but I'm also on the Turning Point Board and the Marion Public Health Board. And you're absolutely correct. There is a marked absence of diverse people. You know, a lot of times when I go into a situation, I am the only. As a matter of fact, you know, it's sometimes concerning to me, but sometimes I feel like that leadership that I bring is also going to bring an awareness, and perhaps the awareness will bring an increase in interest of the needs of diversity and the diverse group that exists here, because a lot of times, you know, it is not seen. When I win, I think I'll be the first African American woman that has been on city council, and that will be historic.
And it will be progressive.
It
moves forward. And we do move. Well, that's the name of the show, A Progressive Life.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful to move forward and not be afraid of moving forward. Mm-hmm. So many people are. Well, I grew up in my first high school was I was not a minority, but we were 30-35% African American. So I grew up not noticing that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I wish everybody had that opportunity, because but between you and me, white people out there, there's no difference.
No.
Just color.
No, definitely not.
And we all want the same thing. We want to get ahead. We want our families to enjoy the life.
And you know, the my passion is children.
Mine too.
I don't care what color they are. So when I go out there and implement and do programming or whatever, it's not just for African American kids or people. It's for all people. And I think once people get beyond that, you know, that when I sit at the table as your fifth ward city council person, I'm not like looking at the 2% of African Americans that live in the fifth ward. I'm looking at the fifth ward in general What changes can I do? What can I implement that will affect the lives of the residents that live in the Fifth Ward? So, Republican, Democrat, Independents, you know, whatever work I do is not, you know, regulated to the particular group that I'm in. It's for everybody, that nonpartisan thing, you know. So I work a lot with trying to register people to vote, because I think that wields a lot of power. Voter suppression. So I've been attending the Board of Elections meetings, and I've seen you on the floor, you know, in those meetings when, you know, topics were hot and heavy, and I still go. And even though they're not, you know, that standing room only crowd, you know, I still think that that's an area that people can make a difference. You know?
Well, voter suppression is so, it's everywhere now. Yeah. And
well, you know, we just got we just got purged, you know.
Yep.
The Secretary of State just purged a lot of people, and I think
over 100,000.
Oh,
right?
It was 250, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Marion, I think we didn't have that much. I talked to Brian Blair, but we had people where letters were sent to their homes about, you know, their voting status and stuff. So still working on that. And
it seems to be a way of cutting down those of us who are not well healed. Mm-hmm. It seems to be anti poor people or anti lower middle class people.
You know, voting is free.
Yeah, should be.
It's a free.
It wasn't always.
Yeah, I know. Which is another historic thing, because, you know, this is the year that women, you know, the suffrage stuff, you know, and so
yeah,
it's
100 great, years ago.
Yeah. And although African-American women struggled, you know, and really 1964, 1965, those type, you know, that those years were really, really instrumental in my life. So I feel like...
you weren't around in 64.
No, I wasn't.
I was.
Born in 57, you know, and I remember struggles, and I remember my aunt and my grandmother and, you know, what they went through, and I'd sit on the stairs and listen to stories and stuff. But I feel like people like Mrs. Hazlett, you know, prepared me for leadership, you know, in fourth grade when she was my teacher, you know, and I listened to like my mother and my grandmother, you know, one of the things, and I told you this before, like after I finished the teaching career, I'm like, what do I do now? How can I still make a difference? I didn't want to just sit at home and eat bonbons and watch the soaps, you know.
And get bigger as you're eating the bonbons.
Yeah. So that's why I do a lot of volunteer work, and that's why I'm on a lot of boards, and that's why, you know, in this interview process, I am preparing myself for leadership in Marion.
Not only
with the leadership class, but in ways that I interact with people in our community.
You've been in Marion all your life, is that right? I think
that's right.
I saw that you graduated from Harding.
Yes.
Your kids graduated from Harding.
Yes, sir.
By the way,
sir.
She has some wonderful kids. They're great athletes. And I've met two, I think.
Yeah,
how many?
Twins. I have four.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter's in Egypt right now. I told her to turn me on.
Playing
so
basketball?
So shout out to Shantae in Alexandria, Egypt, if you're listening.
Yeah.
And so she is a professional athlete.
Yeah.
She plays basketball. Her twin Sean is a
and she isn't a bad on the eyes. She's a good looking young lady.
Thank you. Don't tell her that. Oh my God.
Don't listen.
And her twin is a professional trainer. My
daughter, I saw that.
My daughter Janae works for Ohio Health, and she might be the person that took your ultrasound or your sonograph, or she went to Tri Rivers and got that that education and loves it.
Another place we should be proud of in Marion.
Right.
Yeah.
And my oldest son, Corey, he's working with at-risk youth here in Marion at the old prison out there and stuff. So, yeah, I'm very proud of them, and I want to keep them in Marion because that's the problem. Our young people get an education, they go to Columbus, go to Cincinnati, move to the West Coast or whatever.
Find a place to make more money.
Yeah, yeah. It's boring in Marion and stuff, but I'd be remiss, too, if I didn't mention my grandchildren. I have five. My favorite grandson is Jerron. And
you actually call him your favorite grandson?
I only have one.
He's only one.
And he goes to George Washington Elementary School, and I have four granddaughters, two that are in Columbus, Jalen, I call her JJ, and Azaria, Zarzar. And then I have two in Marion, Allure, who attends Grant Middle School, and my youngest and my prettiest, who she goes to McKinley, and she's in kindergarten. So we have a nice life here.
She's your prettiest. Yeah. Your family's got a lot of pretty people in it. So.
Thank you.
Well, we've got about 2-3 minutes left to go, and I'd love to have, we really haven't given anybody an opportunity to get in and talk, except for the gentleman who couldn't hear you.
Who told us, yeah.
Well,
thanks.
I turned a mic switch up, and I hope that it's easier to hear. It is going over there, so I know people can hear it. They may have to get closer.
I'll just have
closer.
To come back.
Be glad to have you. But give us maybe a last thought you'd like to leave people with about your running for city council. By the way, you're listening to Tara Dyer, and some people might say, why don't you introduce her name? And I'm sorry, I wasn't good.
Several times. Well, I'd like to invite people out. I'm having a fundraiser at Attaboy's on Monday, 6 to 8. Suggested donations, of course. But also, come talk to me. About even if you're not in the fifth ward, about what is your vision for Marion? What can we do to move progressively forward? I don't want to hear any negativity. I want to hear things that we can actually put out there to do. Be mindful of the dates. October 5th or 7th is the last day. I encourage people to, even if you're positive that you voted in the last election, you can go on to the Marion's Board of Elections website and check the status of your voter registration. If you've changed addresses or anything, make sure that everything, all your stuff is current, because the deadline is coming and you will not be able to vote, no exceptions.
Yeah, my wife just did that for us.
See? And November 5th, just get out there and vote. Just get out there and vote. I think we're at 23% in the primaries and 32% when you and I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see us get up to 60%.
Yeah.
And that's only going to happen in 2020 when you know who's going to be on the ballot with whomever my candidate is. But I just want to encourage people to talk to your legislative officials. Don't just be at home, talking to people over a cup of coffee. Be proactive and be a part of democracy.
And one of the ways is to talk to your local people
before.
Because as you probably have noticed, it's kind of tough to get in to actually talk to the national people.
Oh, my gosh.
They have all sorts of wickets you have to crawl through.
Yeah. You call those 800 numbers and say, hey.
Yeah. Beg to talk to somebody.
Yeah, just a person.
Yeah.
But just know that somebody died for us to have the freedoms that we have. So let's not, take, that for granted. Let's not take it for granted. Use it.
Absolutely. Well, today has been Tara Dyer. She's running for city council. We only have a couple seconds left to go, and I'd like to encourage you not only to listen to my show, A Progressive Life, but also to get out and vote. Have a nice day.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to, and I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid, and along the way she did a lot of great game shows and television series, and worked with people like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes on and on. She is amazing, the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. But I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish with all the things they have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just more kind to each other. Think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy, it's so simple. And I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing. I love your voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
Of what, a song?
Any song you like.